This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Dan Hurley. If you pay to go to college, you're not only paying for academics, but you're likely also funding the school's sports programs. Despite the money from students, many of these multi-million dollar programs at public universities are operating with a deficit. We're going to talk today about how college sports are funded. Joining me are University of Cincinnati Professor of History, Dr. John McNay, and Director of Athletics, Mike Bone. You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or also on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Certainly glad to have you here today. And I just want to throw the first question out there, and you can talk about UC or you can talk about universities in general. But we'll start with you, Dr. McNay. How are these sports programs funded?
Well, for the most part, they're funded through general funds and also through student fees. And this is pretty common across the country.
Oh, he's right. And I think that's why opportunities like this to visit with leaders like John and others that fully understand the whole enterprise. Institutions across the country are struggling with funding their intercollegiate athletic programs. I believe the last report had approximately 89% of our peers across the country actually losing money.
UC is one of them?
Yes.
Is it how significant? How big is the deficit now?
Well, I think that's why the debate or the review over all the different finances associated with the deficit or deficit spending or the budget. Obviously, we do receive a investment from the institution. We also do receive student fees, as your introduction talked about. And you have to really take into account all the different pieces. And so I think that the deficit is one that is in line with our peers in our conference, and so the investment and deficit we run is approximately in the $20 million range.
One of the things that I read in doing some of the research was in Ohio, the only university that's athletic program that's not running a deficit or is fully funded by ticket sales and their own program is Ohio State. Is that still correct? I think the information I have is a couple of years
old. Yes, that's true. I'm also president of the Ohio Conference of the American Association of University Professors. We have a chapter there at Ohio State. And while we recognize that they generate an awful lot of revenue, we also would like an independent audit of Ohio State and to see if they really do make money. All the other places in Ohio, they all run various levels of deficit. One thing about UC's is it's the biggest in terms of dollars, it's not the biggest in terms of percentages. We have several universities in Ohio that are 75% subsidized for the athletic program. And here we're a little under 50%, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
And so what's the difference? Why do you think that your deficit isn't as high, Mike?
Well, again, you have to look at all the different pots that involve that. So obviously, we are fortunate to have wonderful revenue generated from donations, from ticket sales. To give you an idea of the conference distribution at UC, we're in the $3 to $4 million range. And at Ohio State, their distribution from their Big Ten network and their contributions from their conference are around $51 million. So there's a dramatic difference there. And so I think that's what makes the review of all the numbers challenging is everybody's formula is a little bit different. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't also begin to introduce the idea that of those budgets and of those revenues, we also invest back into the institution in a big way. For example, we provide almost $9 million in scholarship assistance for our student athletes, and no student athlete comes through the university majoring in baseball or basketball or football or swimming, for that matter. They graduate just like they do from Johns College and other colleges as well.
Let's talk a little bit about how these deficits are created and what the expenses are. What are you paying for? Why? Because the deficits were not this high 20 years ago. What is causing them to go up, and what are the expenses? And maybe, Dr. McNay, you can talk a little bit about what you found not only at UC but around the country.
Well, I think Mike probably knows better exactly what the athletic department's budget is, but I would we know that in 2005 that the deficit was about $5 million, and we would much prefer if it went back in that direction. if you think about the revenue that's being spent to subsidize athletics, say take $10 million. $10 million could pay for 4 years of college, the tuition for 4 years of college for 200 students. What if we sunk that kind of money into scholarships at UC? We think that that would be a really appropriate use of that money.
And I'm sure you've heard those kind of comments before, Mike. Talk a little bit about why you think it's important to spend the money on athletics. And again, what's costing so much?
Well, John's right. I think that that's why we take pride, and that's why I mentioned the investment that we put into scholarships. I mean, we have in intercollegiate athletics just over 500 students that are involved in that. And that doesn't take into account the marching band, spirit squad, all those other elements that are into that as well that come to UC and participate in paying revenue to the institution, paying tuition to be a Bearcat. And I think that's important. So obviously we take great pride in those scholarships. But again, the growth is based on the market across the country related to coaches' salaries, primarily with our marquee coaches. I think that's no secret. And then obviously the support staffs that go along with that.
There's also some reading that I did that said a lot of money goes towards severances. Tommy Tuberville, for example, you're paying a lot of severance there. Is that under consideration when you enter into those contracts that you may end up having to pay severance to separate from some of these folks?
Well, we certainly don't like it. And I know the institution doesn't like it when we have to pay severances to any departing staff member. I hate to say it's the cost of doing business, but it's the cost of doing business. And we don't like it. I do believe, and I can talk from personal experience, that we have worked extremely hard to minimize our exposure there. And I know that that's something that we do that ensures that we are good stewards of our resources. And so we take great pride in trying to prevent major multi-million-dollar buyouts. I mean, Tommy's was $1.5 million. So I think that we do not take pride in that. We do not enjoy investing in severance when really we want to invest it in our students and our student athletes.
If I could just add, those kind of contracts are a problem throughout the university. President Williams, for example, who departed a few years ago, he also left with $1.5 million in his pocket. You know, and that to us, we're in our academic departments where we're nickel and diming things, to see that kind of money just disappear is hard for us to be happy with.
Is that common standard, not as you say, not only for athletics, but for across the board, that at universities now severance packages are already on the table when people first sign up to work at the university?
It's my understanding that especially in important jobs like head coaches and presidents, that yes, that's part of the contract. You know, if you don't want the coach, you don't sign the contract.
What do you say to students, though, who are paying student fees and seeing the cost of a college education go up and up and up? You know, I think back 30 years ago when I was in school, maybe 40 years ago now, that, you know, it cost a whole lot less. And far more than the cost of living increases and those sorts of things, that the numbers have gone up for colleges. What do you say to students when they're putting a lot of money into athletics and maybe they never even attend a single football game?
You know, speaking for the faculty, one of the problems that we have connected to that is that all our departments operate under what's called performance-based budgeting. And under performance-based budgeting, each department and each college has to fund its own operation. If you don't do that, you technically owe the money to the university, and they'll insist that you pay it up the next year. So we could never run deficits like the athletic department is running. And that is it's a real bone of contention for a lot of faculty. My department, for example, when I was chair of the department, we had a couple of retirements, and we were never able to fill those positions because of some fluctuations in our enrollment. So now we're filling those positions with adjuncts. And across the university, I'm not sure if your listeners know about adjuncts, but this is one of the ways that we generate extra revenue, really, is instead of having full-time positions where the individual has health benefits and retirement and that kind of thing, what they have instead is $2,500 a course and no benefits. And so you lose a person in retirement, you replace them with a $2,500 a course individual with no benefits. There are over 1,200 of those people working at UC. And they almost outnumber the regular faculty. There's 1,700 of us.
513-419-7100 is our phone number if you have a question or a comment today. Mike, what do you say to that in terms of the academic departments not being able to run a deficit where the athletic department can?
Well, I think John's right. I think everybody on campus has accountability measures, and we have one too. And the word deficit and how it's portrayed with our program is, in my opinion, really a little misleading because, for example, we eliminated almost 20 positions in our department this last year. We run a very efficient department. We've received national recognition for our efficiency. We've received national recognition for our promotion and hiring of women and minorities. We have exemplary academic performance with the highest in the history of the school, which we are extremely proud of. And the faculty are great partners in working on that and helping us recruit young men and women to come to UC. And I think when you start talking about deficit, that word or that description talks about how we take the subsidy we received in the institution and put it into our budget, and we don't have the ability to and then we do manage our budget. For example, this year we were in the black. We were profitable. So it's not like we have an open checkbook and the ability to just go beyond our budget at all times. We have strict guidelines, strict reporting structure, just like the rest of campus does.
If you're in the black this year, then where does the deficit come from? Is this from previous years? Is this the Tuberville severance? What's causing the deficit?
Well, I think that, again, it's all in how you define what that is. So if we're not profitable without the subsidy, then many people would say that we're running a deficit. So I think that, again, it's just a matter of how you account for all the resources. But just like your radio station here, I'm sure if this program is receiving, I don't know how you work, but some type of subsidy or some type of funding to help ensure that you have this studio, this lights, all the different things working this and making it happen versus the amount of advertising you're generating or donations that come in to run that program, it's very similar to that. And so we believe that we are outstanding stewards of our resources. And we do have from time to time a coach change or a severance. And again, as I said before, that pains us to do that. But our fiscal responsibility and accountability to the institution, to the Board of Trustees, to our donors, to our fans, to the faculty is at a very, very high level, and we take it very, very seriously. And my private institution, prior institution I worked, we ran the number one most efficient athletic department in the country, and that's what we aspire to do here at the University of Cincinnati.
John, reaction?
You know, I would like to make a point that we are not as faculty opposed to having sports at the university. I think sometimes when we criticize the athletic department and sports, that people assume that faculty don't want to have sports at the university. That's not true. In fact, our faculty union president right now coaches Little League. You know, we're sports fans. But at the same time, the university has to find a way to help people go to college better. You know, we really want to emphasize affordability and accessibility. And if we could channel some of this revenue into helping kids go to school, that would be, and I know it does help some athletes, I understand that, but that would be a much better expenditure, I think. At the same time, we want to have sports, right?
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Kirk's calling in with a question. Hi, Kirk. What's your question?
Yes. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, how has Title IX affected your sports budget, in terms of the revenue-generating sports and the sports that don't bring any money or the sports that lose money? I'll just take my question. I'll take the answer off here. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you, Kirk.
Well, I'd be happy to answer that, and I know John has some expertise in that area too. And before I answer Kirk's question, I think that John's comments are exactly right. I think the faculty are incredibly engaged in this process. They understand it. They want to do what's right for UC. I believe the faculty and many of the other leadership groups that I sit on, to include the president's cabinet, were one of the first in the state, if I'm right, to freeze tuition at the University of Cincinnati so that it isn't rising. And so I think we're proud of that. I think we're all very, very proud of that. And I think that we want to continue to escalate the academic profile of our students. The faculty are driving that and doing a phenomenal job with that.
We should point out, while the tuition is frozen, the student fees have increased even through that time. So it's not just the tuition that they're paying. I just want to clarify that. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Well, that being said, though, the athletic fee has been frozen for 14 years.
It has. Okay.
So I think that that's important, and I think that's something that we've worked hard with campus to ensure that's the case to our students and all those wonderful young men and women that come to the university. As far as it is with Title IX and Kirk's question, he's exactly right. That is a federal mandate for us to provide proportionality for both men and women to be equal or within a certain percentage. So obviously that includes facility upgrades and so forth. And I know that we're renovating our new Fifth Third Arena, which is another facility for athletics that is on the heels of the football stadium, which can ruffle some of the feathers of faculty on campus. That project is privately funded. So we receive donations where we've raised $30 million, on track to raise $43 million. And then the difference is bonded based on increased revenue. The ticket revenue this year will be at an all-time record high. We believe we will set the record for season ticket sales. The goal is just over 7,200 tickets, which will help us. So that's all privately funded. And as part of that, we invested $3 million in that structure into the locker room part of that structure. And to virtually the square inch, the men's and women's are the same.
So would you say then that Title IX is not really making a huge difference in terms of costs, or it is?
No, it's a significant investment from the institution, which is part of why the institutional support is so critical to help us, because we have two programs that really generate significant revenue for us, and we have 19 sport programs. So the obligation to fund those women's sports, of which, we've received many national honors and recognition for that, is something we're committed to, but there is a cost that does come along with that.
Dr. McKnight?
I think that Mike is right about the costs with this and the construction. Much of the construction, especially the recent construction, has been done with private money. But since about 2005, UC has built over $300 million worth of sports facilities. Tommy Tuberville said that was a great thing because he had, demonstrated UC's commitment to athletics. We, on the other hand, are seeing other places that money like that could have been spent. We have some beautiful buildings. We have top-notch facilities. Look around the campus. It's beautiful. But that came at a cost. UC is $1 billion in debt. So imagine how much we have to pay every year just to keep that debt away.
You talk about facilities construction. Both of you have mentioned that now, and that seems in many cases to cause some of the deficit issues. And you say currently this building is you're trying to get private, or the latest construction you're getting private funding for. But overall, is there a plan that you have to keep things at a certain level of up to date and to draw people in to want to come to see these sports? And does the same thing work in academic buildings? I mean, I still remember when DPAA was built and all of those sorts of things, and that the DAP program brought in a lot of people just because of the design of the building. Are you finding that across campus, or is it more important for athletics?
I think it's important for both. We are thrilled with the new Linear School of Business building. We are thrilled with Teachers College. We are thrilled with DAP's new building. Law school's building a new. I think that athletics is the same as all those incredible, wonderful disciplines. I mean, and then that's been fostered at a higher level of funding and investment around UC. You start looking at U Square. You start looking at the private funding for apartments around campus. So those tides rise all boats. And so I think that for those that are listening or anybody that understands, we want all of UC to be exceptional. And when you think of all the different facilities and parking and infrastructure and housing and you know, for Marion Spencer, brand new, I don't know, John, if you've been in there, that is a phenomenal residence hall with incredible dining facility amongst the best in the country. That's really what the standard we're trying to put together because it's competitive out there. But John knows this, but the state of Ohio on the number of young men and women that are becoming an age of going to college is decreasing. So it's going to be imperative for us to be competitive. And on the athletic side, I mean, for example, with our arena, I'm thrilled that our fans have been so supportive in basketball. We recently were named one of the top 10 all-time basketball programs in the country, and our fans were phenomenal. But we had 6,000 fans coming to games in the upper decks on both sides of the previous arena with no concession stands and no restrooms. And I know John can tell stories about faculty members without labs and out classrooms and smart boards and all the things that they need too. So unfortunately, we're all committed to that. And I think that's why we work hand in hand with the foundation and other leaders to ensure that athletics is doing our part to bring as many people to the table as possible to support all of UC.
Dr. McNeigh?
Well, certainly we want to partner with athletics to make progress for the university, but at the same time, you know, we've got a particular problem with funding instruction. If you saw the student newspaper in the spring, they did a two-story series on some of these finances. And one of the things they pointed out that we always point out is that instructional funding has declined while athletic funding has increased. Our enrollment has gone up. We're about 45,000 students, right? So partly the university is doing this because they're replacing tenure track or full-time faculty with adjuncts. And that adjunct problem is a real serious one that needs to be addressed. I mean, it's on their backs, really, that a lot of this revenue is generated.
And I guess we would not have adjunct coaches. You're going to have those people are all full-time. Do you have people that are just working part-time?
No, we do have volunteers, actually, in our programs. And John's right. I think that, you know, when we line up against UCLA in a week and then next year we play UCLA at home in Nippert Stadium and we go up to Ohio State, our faculty and our fans are going to expect us to compete and expect us to represent the university well. And when our marching band hits that field, they're going to see ours and they're going to see Ohio State's and they're going to think, okay, hi, or where do we rank? How are we doing? And I think that, again, it's about representing the institution in a way that fosters growth for all of us.
How does that work? How do you – I'm rushing on because we have a couple minutes left, but how do you work together on that so both sides can succeed and the students aren't the ones paying the brunt of it with their student fees going up, even though, as you mentioned, they've been frozen for 14 years for athletic fees. But those student fees are going up and the cost of colleges. So where does it – how do you solve all of that?
Well, you know, I wish the Board of Trustees would take a real serious look at this situation. The last time they really – took a look at it was in 2009 when they created a task force to have a look at this. And at that point, they really just came to a conclusion that, yeah, athletics is important. Yeah, the deficit is a problem. And they didn't come up with any solutions, you know. We would like them to take another look at this and see if there's a way that athletics can be more self-sustaining and that we can generate some of that revenue for the students.
20 seconds.
Well, John's exactly right, and that's exactly one of the things that we've been doing. I'm not authorized to reveal all those details at this time, but I can tell you the Board of Trustees, our new president of the cabinet, our entire leadership on campus is helping us with an initiative just like that, and we'll look forward to announcing those findings here shortly.
Oh, heck, you're going to do that and not tell us about it, huh? All right, how soon? How soon will we hear?
I would think in the next several months.
Thank you both for being here. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
We've been talking about funding college sports. My guests were University of Cincinnati Professor of History, Dr. John McNeigh, and Director of Athletics, Mike Bone. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Today's technical director was Josh Elstrow. Segment producer is Layla Shakui. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley. Here and Now is next.